Good morning. I heard a minute ago there's somebody here from Florida. Who's here from Florida? Where are you from? Point Siena near Kissimmee. Not too far from Kissimmee is another smaller town called Sebring. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Don't get nasty. I was there last weekend. Yeah. Woo! Indeed. I was at my 40th class reunion. Oh, God have mercy, that was interesting. It was the first one I've been to. And the array of people, the ones who looked amazing, and some who I'm like, are you 79 or 80? Ooh, yes I did. I'm just saying, unity keeps us fresh. Fresh and alive, doesn't it? Oh my goodness. I heard that Stephanie Schmitter is gonna be here today. Is she here? Is Stephanie here? Okay, maybe she'll show up in a little bit. Maybe, maybe not, maybe not. So there was once a farmer who owned an old mule. And the mule fell into the farmer's well. The farmer heard the mule braying, and whatever mules do when they fall into wells. And after carefully assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was worth the trouble of saving. So instead, he called his neighbors together and told them what had happened, and he enlisted them to haul dirt to bury the old mule. I know, right? Call PETA. To bury the old mule in the well and to put him out of his misery. Nice farmer, huh? Well, initially, the old mule was absolutely hysterical. But as the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling and the dirt hit his back, a thought came to the old mule. It suddenly dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, though it hurt, bless you, though it hurt, he should shake it off and step up. And this is exactly what he did, blow after blow after blow of those shovels of dirt on his back. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. Are you with me?
Yes.
Shake it off and step up. 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 You know what we're talking about. So he kept repeating this to himself to encourage himself. And no matter how painful the blows or distressing the situation seemed, the old mule fought panic and just kept right on shaking it off and stepping up. And it wasn't long before the old mule, battered and completely exhausted, stepped right out over the wall of the well. So what seemed like it would actually bury him actually blessed him, all because of the way he handled the adversity. Okay, I'm gonna do something that our beloved Carlos does from time to time. If you have ever been through something like this, not necessarily falling into a well and having dirt shoveled over your head, but something that felt pretty much like it, raise your right hand. Look around. Now, I know, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. And if you don't have your hand up, I can see you. And we are going to celebrate your ascension during this time together this morning, okay? So then, if you've ever made it through that time like this old mule did, raise your other hand and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And look around at the triumph.
Woo!
Woo! Is there anybody here that absolutely loves and is fond of the DMV? For those of you going, what is the DMV? It is the Department of Motor Vehicles. Hold on. I need some vodka for this. Lord have mercy. So about 3 weeks ago, The day before my birthday, I went to the DMV to have my driver's license renewed because it was expiring the next day. And I said, oh, this should take about half an hour. Well, I was just zipping right through. And in about not even 15 minutes, I'd been expedited. I'll go over to that auto thing, self-do-it machine, and just go right on through, and you're going to be good to go. And I got right on through, and at the very end, it went, it wouldn't go through. So I was sent back to get a new number, number 2000 and something. And I had to wait, and wait, and wait. And finally, I got to somebody, and they said, well, I don't know what's going on here. There are codes coming up on the computer that are not letting this go through, and I'm trying to override the system. And this woman was so sweet. Her name was Mia. Mia. Yeah, we were best buddies by the end of that 2.5 hours that I spent there that afternoon. I was there for an hour after it closed. I had many people helping, and nobody could get my driver's license renewed. And it was on a Friday. It was on a Friday. And during the time that I was there, I thought, I know what to do. I am a minister. I breathe. This is inconvenient, but it's going to come to a beautiful resolution this afternoon, and I'm just going to be so excited because I've got a trip coming up on Monday. I've got a dear friend taking me out tonight for my birthday, and I've got a massage in a few minutes. And I'm going to have to go ahead and cancel that. And pay for it because it was canceled at the last minute, but I'm still good. So I call Silent Unity, I call my prayer partner. The clock is starting to go like this. They closed at 4 o'clock. Well, at about 5 o'clock, everyone out of that place was long gone. They said, we have tried everything. We've been on the phone. Nobody knows what these codes mean. It has something to do with your social security number. Have you been hacked? Have you been? I'm like, no, I'm good. Well, sir, we're really sorry. You're going to have to call this number on Monday. And that's when I channeled my good buddy from the 70s, Linda Blair. And I've got a church thing I've got to go to next week, and I need my driver's license to rent a car in Atlanta early Monday morning. This is not an answer, sir. You're going to have to leave. You're going to have to leave now. I'm like, ain't this funny? Ain't this good? So, Lewis, being amazing as he can often be, we were talking through it, and I said, maybe I'm not supposed to go. Maybe I'm not supposed to go to this amazing workshop next week with Edwin Gaines in Alabama in the mountains at her retreat center to do this in-depth work. I'm being spiritual. Maybe I'm not supposed to go. I said, that's out of the question. That is not an option. You're going. So Lewis, at the last minute, being wonderfully helpful and a little codependent, bought a very expensive last-minute plane ticket on my flight so that he could go to Atlanta with me to rent the car in his name so I could illegally drive it all week in Georgia and Alabama. I called Edwin, I told her the story. She said, oh, we're gonna pray. We're gonna know that it's all good. So she didn't know for sure until I showed up that I would be showing up. So I got a big hallelujah, praise Jesus when I walked in. There were only 8 people from around the country at this thing. So that week, while I was there, driving very carefully on the back roads of Alabama, while I was there, I called that number that they gave me. There was no answer. I finally got through to Albany, in the call center in Albany for the DMV. After an hour on the phone with them, they said, well, they should be able to handle this right where you started. I'm like, well, that is delightful. I'll do that when I get home. So I got home from Friday night, and I went Tuesday. Couldn't go Monday because they were closed. It was Columbus Day. So Tuesday, I went in. I got prayed up.
Yes.
Oh, I'm like, I love all these people. They have no idea how much I love them. So, same thing happened. They expedited me right to the front of a line. And this time, the difference in what had happened, that nothing could go through and nobody understood the code that was coming up on the computer, was that it definitely had to do with my Social Security number. So I had to go get my Social Security number. I mean, card. I know, Jill Dalton's head just went like a puppy going, what? Yeah, that, I'm like, you mean the card I got in eighth grade? My Social Security card, that one? Yeah, we know. I found it. Hallelujah. Lewis had not moved it to a new hiding place on me. He's very fastidious. So I came back and it still wouldn't go through. And they said, you're gonna have to go to Social Security.
What?
And it's just over there and down there, which was a big fat lie. It was another mile to walk. Got there, got on the wrong floor because it's where they sent me. Waited with another number, went through the process, only to finally get to a window and go, oh, you need to be on the fourth floor. Stop it, Linda, stop it. So, went to the fourth floor and waited and waited, and finally I said, oh, my 4 hours that I had to do this are now up and I need to get to all my Tuesday meetings at Unity where we are very spiritual. So, I came back the next morning, went through the process again, got somebody very helpful, and I found out what was wrong all along. Because I kept going fourth time's a charm, fifth time's a charm. I was dead. See, my middle name, some of you know that my middle name is Britt, and I've gone by Britt my entire life, but my first name is John. Oh, I just made your day, didn't I? John Britt Hall. There was a John Britt Hall with my birthday who had just died in the state of Illinois. I'm like, I'm clearly alive. Right here, I just want my driver's license because I had another trip coming up. Oh dear God, so they did what they could. They were trying to get it through overnight. In the meantime, I'm on the phone with the record of the Office of Vital Statistics in Illinois. There were so many people working on this. By the time they did what they needed to do, and the next day, Thursday of last week, not this past Thursday, the one before, I went in there praying that I was going to get a driver's license. It's the first time I had been without a driver's license since the morning of my 16th birthday, when I was the first person there. And by then, I was well known in the DMV. They're like, hey girl, you're back. I'm like, come back, yeah. Do we need to start paying rent here or what? So got through the process. And right at the window, I had been to so many windows. They have about 40 or 50 of them. I've been to probably a third of the windows in the DMV. And I look over, someone's calling me. Oh, hey, it's you. It was Mia.
Yes.
For the very first Friday, the one that Linda Blair came out on. She said, oh my God. I felt so bad. I told my husband over the weekend, I told him all about you, and you were such a nice person, and you had this, you couldn't get your license, and we didn't know why, and we couldn't get the system to override it, and that you had this $12,000 workshop you had to go on the next week. I'm like, some rumors get started, but I told her it was expensive. And she said, and I told my husband, I gotta find this guy again. I said, oh, that's so sweet. I have a little gift for you at home, but I forgot to bring it for the last four times I've been here. And she said, no, I wanted to find you. I told my husband, I want to find your church. I want to go to that church. Because a minister who comes in here and loses his cool and starts just cussing up a storm, I want to go there. So Mia, I expect to see you here someday. And I thought that was so cool. And isn't it great to remember that we are perfectly imperfect. How about that? We go through stuff. We go through those dark times. And I went through all of that and whoop, like that, it was just done. I got to work and work and work and work some more on rising above it. Now, being at Ed Wein's Retreat Center was very much like being in a cocoon, because it was a really intimate setting where we went deep. Myself and there were seven other ministers from different places in the country. We went really deep. And the first thing I did when I got there, actually Ed Wein did, she played a song, I had never heard a recording of it, called I Need to Be Still and Let God Love Me. And it's one of my favorite songs. And I had never heard a recording of it. She had a recording by B.J. Thomas. And then I looked on the wall of her little chapel and it said, I need to be still and let God love me. And from the words of Bob Marley, every little thing's gonna be all right. Yeah. That was on the wall. So I was like, okay, I'm good, I'm here. It was like being in a cocoon. Now, last spring, on our way, there were different people here that went on the Transatlantic Spirit at Sea cruise. Raise your hand if you were on that cruise. We had a wonderful time, small group of us were on the cruise. And our first stop was at the port of Key West on our way to 9 days at sea before we got to the Canary Islands. And in Key West, we went to the Butterfly Conservatory. Oh my God, it was amazing. There are over 50 species of live butterflies from around the world. And they're playing classical music, and it's this huge greenhouse with lush gardens and pink flamingos. And it was really incredible. It was an amazing experience. So how does one become a butterfly, you might ask? Bless you. They have to want to learn to fly so much that they're willing to give up being a caterpillar. That's how a butterfly becomes a butterfly. This is a quote from Trina Paulus's book, Hope for the Flowers. Has anyone heard of Hope for the Flowers? It's a beautiful book. It's illustrated. It looks like a children's book, but it's so beautiful. And it's a fable that's partly about life, partly about revolution, and a lot about hope. And the two focal characters in this book, Hope for the Flowers, are the caterpillars named Yellow and Stripe. And here's the synopsis of the story. It all starts when Stripe, the main character, caterpillar, first hatches from an egg. He begins his life by eating the very leaf on which he was born. And he eventually realizes that there must be more to life than just eating leaves. He senses there must be a way to get up into the sky. And he searches for a way, and before long, he finds himself at the base of a pillar made of caterpillars. They're all struggling to get up into the sky, just as Stripe is. And here, he meets Yellow, who also wants to get up into the sky by climbing to the top of the pillar. But she feels bad about what has to be done to achieve this goal. You have to literally step on and climb over all the other caterpillars who are also trying to reach the top of the pillar. It's very competitive. It's very competitive. And the two of them eventually decide to stop climbing and just go back down the pillar. Well, Stripe and Yellow live together for a while, but Stripe's curiosity and his unrest overcome him. And he decides that he must go back and get to the top of that pillar. So Stripe says goodbye to Yellow, and he goes off once again to climb the caterpillar pillar. He focuses, he adapts, and he drives to reach the top. And eventually, he succeeds at being on the very top of the caterpillar pillar. Reaching his goal only results in disillusionment, as he takes in a vast vista of other caterpillar pillars all around. Is this all there is at the top, he wondered? He's not really gotten into the sky at all. He just now has a view of the other caterpillars struggling to reach the top of their respective caterpillar pillars, just like he did. Yellow, however, has followed her instincts. She continues to eat, and then she spins a cocoon. She eventually emerges from the cocoon, transformed into a butterfly, and flies into the sky effortlessly. She has found the real answer to the feeling that there must be more to life than eating leaves, and who caterpillars really are. So she's waiting for the very disillusioned Stripe as he descends the pillar and eventually reaches the ground again. And she shows Stripe her empty cocoon. And he eventually gets it. He eventually realizes what he needs to do. Stripe makes a cocoon of his own. And Yellow waits for him. And Stripe eventually emerges, transformed into a butterfly, and they fly off together into the sky. Now, the butterfly is a symbol of transformation, moving from the conceptual stage of an idea, a project, that's the cocoon, to the full glory of its manifestation, finding its wings. There's a gentle yet powerful transformation that honors the beauty and the grace and freedom that it was meant to have. And so, Yellow had decided to risk it all to follow her intuition, her natural instincts. And with courage, she hung upside down right beside another cocoon before she began to spin her own. Imagine, she said, I didn't even know I could do this. That's encouragement that I'm definitely on the right track. I have the stuff inside me to make cocoons. I had no idea. And maybe the stuff of butterflies is there as well. The caterpillar builds a cocoon to protect itself while it undergoes a miraculous transformation. And soon the beauty in all its glory is evident in the emergence of the butterfly, free, unlimited in its ability to fly. Its innate trust in the process allows it to fulfill its great and wondrous potential. How much potential do we have as children of God? All we have to do is trust. Trust in God and our inner Christ spirit to guide in our own transformations. Where is your cocoon? That place of rest, transformation, restoration. I want you to think this week, what is inside you waiting to emerge? What is inside you that has been waiting and waiting to emerge? You have all you need. You have the stuff in you to build a cocoon. Stuff you didn't even realize was there. So what is it that's inside you waiting to emerge? What are you willing to give up to be able to fly? To make room for that flight? How much potential you have is infinite. Trust, trust, trust. trust that inner Christ spirit to bring about your own transformation. What is inside of you waiting to emerge? What are you willing to give up to be able to fly? What is inside you waiting to emerge? What are you willing to give up to take flight?
Traveling.
still. Let God love me when this old world starts to push and shove me. I need to be still. Let God love me. I need to relax and let God take over. Oh, and take this load off my shoulder. I need to relax and let God take over. When there's trouble all around me and my soul cries out for rest, when decisions get so heavy, even though I've done my best, when decisions all around me will find answers that I need, I know it's time to just be still. I know it's time to just be still. I need to be still and let God love me. I need to be still and let God love me. When this old world starts to push, I need to be still. I need to be still. I need to be still. And let God love me. Let God love me. As we drop into that very safe, sacred cocoon, I invite you to close your eyes. And to trust that in this moment you have everything you could ever need. You have the ability to do more than you ever thought possible. The power of God within you is transforming your life at this very moment. Sometimes we associate darkness with fear or sadness. Yet this very darkness may also mark a new beginning, a time of transformation. Out of what was, something new emerges. The butterfly emerges from the cocoon. And the time in the darkness is an important and essential part of the process that is life. It is in faith that we move through times of challenge. sometimes when we can't see the way. In times of challenge, even of sorrow, we can hold to the truth and expect good to be revealed through the activity of spirit that is always at work, always in motion. In the midst of what may appear to be darkness, we open ourselves to new wisdom. And with each and every experience, we emerge as a new creation of spirit. In this safe place of the cocoon of our very own making, we rely on that Christ intuition within us. And we allow ourselves to shed the past through guidance of spirit within. We let go of habits and ways of living that might be holding us back. And we allow the miracle of our own Christ nature to emerge. In this place, in this place of stillness, of sacred darkness, we allow ourselves to trust, to call on the faith that is a part of who we are, at our very core, our very divine nature. As I emerge from my cocoon, I spread my wings and explore a new world. I am transformed, and that is my true way, as I tell all caterpillars to keep the faith and dare to dream.
Through stretching her face to the sky, then dragging her cumbersome body an inch at a time. I was feeling the pain of slow progress when a friend of hers fluttered by. As I leaned close, the caterpillar spoke with a voice as soft as a sigh. And she said, "Butterfly, please tell me again, I'm gonna be alright. I can feel a change is coming, I can feel it in my skin, I can feel myself growing, this life I've been living in. I'm like my friend caterpillar, afraid of that dark cocoon, wanting to hide in the tall grass when change is coming soon. But all of the things that we long for are born on the wings of change, and losses can lead us to blessings that we can't explain. So butterflies remind us there's magic in every life, and we can become what we dream of if fat, furry worms can fly. And I say, and I'll say, butterfly, please tell me again, I'm gonna be alright. I can feel a change is coming, I can feel it in my skin, I can feel myself outgrowing this life I've been living in. Afraid of change.